Jasper awoke with a feeling of dread. He knew that when the others found the orphan, he'd be in big trouble. The restaurant had slipped quietly away from Dogjaw Docks and now sailed herself while they had breakfast.
"Today's plan," said Dr. Rocket, "is a nice, easy path south."
Polly sipped her coffee. "With nobody chasing us, I'll even have time to try new recipes." Through the window of the dining room, Jasper saw a dark shape on the horizon, which was growing bigger. It was a ship shape. It belched smoke from all three funnels. Dr. Rocket glanced out of the window and went very still. Polly and Trump looked at him, then followed his gaze.
"Oh, the excellent hound!" gasped Trump.
"She's coming as fast as ever I've seen a ship move in all my life," Polly cried. Just then there was a cough from the doorway to the lower deck.
"Good grief," Trump said. "We have a passenger."
The orphan wasn't as pale as last night, but her hair was a wild snarl and she still looked grubby.
"I hoped I smelled toast," she said.
"Not another stray," cried Dr. Rocket. "Another boy?"
"It's worse each time," Polly said. "This one's a girl." There was no time for explanations. Dr. Rocket rocketed to the wheelhouse. Trump and Polly trimmed the sails. The travelling restaurant sped so fast she almost flew across the surface of the sea. The excellent hound didn't manage to draw any closer, even though it looked as if she was using steam as well as sail. Dr. Rocket called everyone up to the wheelhouse. It was a squash. The girl brought her fifth slice of toast.
"Lady Gaul guessed we were scarpering to the southern coast," said Dr. Rocket.
"We're trying to find my little sister," Jasper explained to the orphan. "So is Lady Gaul. She's hunting me too."
The girl licked jam off her last crust of toast.
"Why?"
"But who on earth are you?" Polly asked. "How did you get on board?"
"Manners, manners," Trump said.
Polly glared at him. He bowed to the orphan.
"I am Trump, of no surname. Jasper's uncle. This is Polly, and this is Dr. Rocket."
"Doctor what?"
The orphan flung a hand to point at Dr. Rocket.
"That's one of the scientists who caused the accident."
"Dr. Rocket and the great accident?" Jasper looked at Uncle Trump and Polly and the captain.
"That can't be true."
"It's complicated," Polly said. "Truth often is."
Let's finish the introductions. Trump bowed to the orphan again. "As you probably know, this is Jasper Ludlow."
The orphan's cheeks turned blotchy red.
"He'd better not be related to Hannibal Ludlow."
"He's my father," Jasper said.
"Your father made me an orphan."
Dr. Rocket thumped a fist on the wheel.
"Save the arguments till later. Look ahead."
The southern coast was a rim of cliffs. The blue water of the old ocean showed a green fan where a river flowed out into it.
Dr. Rocket said, "We'll head for the river."
"That's the Great South River dead ahead," said Polly. The city of Herrontown was in sight, ships dotted near its port. Uncle Trump gave a meaningful cough.
I'm not sure this part of the plan is very good. What is the point of getting to port with Lady Gaul so close behind?"
"We're not heading into port. We're hurrying past. The excellent hound is a great deal bigger than us," said Dr. Rocket. "She'll have to stop at the mouth of the river. She can't sail up because she'd run aground, but we can sail a long way up. Thus we shall escape."
"For a while," Polly muttered. Small boats scattered before them as they neared the harbour with the warship at their back. Jasper glanced at the orphan. She looked more and more afraid, as Jasper was. She glanced at him too, then swiftly away.
"If I'm going to die," Jasper said, "I'd like to know the reasons."
The girl pushed her hair behind her ears.
"I'm Beatrix, and your father ruined the Eastern Lake." Suddenly Polly was with them by the rail. Hang on tight and argue later. And by the way, neither of you knows everything. Beatrix said my father, began Jasper. Polly frowned. Hannibal Ludlow did do a terrible thing. How dare you say that? Jasper cried. Polly had already darted off and grabbed a sail line. She paused to look over her shoulder and shout, I'll say what I like about my brother. Polly was his father's sister? Jasper's aunt? Why hadn't she said? The restaurant skimmed into the river mouth. It seemed to Jasper as if the bird paintings on the boat's sides moved their wings in an attempt to make her fly over the waves. Other ships were in the way, and sandbanks, all kinds of dangers on which the restaurant could run aground, but she flew full speed up the Great South River. Jasper darted up to use the telescope. Trump swiveled it to him, grinning. Jasper trained the telescope back on the excellent hound. He gave a yell. She stood on a slant, slewed sideways by a sandbank. The travelling restaurant floated towards a low island in the middle of the river where sheltering willows grew. That evening they all sat on the deck, enjoying the calm. Polly drew in a deep breath. I've never agreed with the idea that people should keep secrets from children, so I'll turn it into a story. I have to use forbidden words, but I doubt anyone will run and tell. Once upon a time, the world was rich in magic. It was used wisely, not wasted on anything selfish or mean-spirited. Then some people began to experiment with science and machines, but that was all right. The monarch kept a wise eye on the world. Some people worried when the monarch, an old king, fell ill. What would happen if he died? He had one daughter and one son. The daughter, Lady Helen, was married with a little boy nearly 5 years old. She had no wish to be queen. The son, Polly bunched her hands, he had no interest in royal duties. It was only the royal family that could communicate with the source of magic. That source lay in the Eastern Isle. Every atom of Jasper's body listened. Couldn't anyone else at all communicate with it? Only the smallest bit, sometimes, Polly said. Not even being a prince or princess was enough, sometimes. Lady Helen didn't have much magic, if any at all. Dr. Rocket spoke up. Royal children never knew whether they had any powers or not till they turned 12. Polly sighed. A wise and clever man, a scientist, thought science might help preserve the magic. This was a good idea. If the royal family was not willing or able to control things, somebody should hunt for another way. Dr. Rocket rubbed his forehead with a wordless rumble. The scientist thought if he took water from the Eastern Lake and analysed it, it would be a useful start. He took two young assistants with him. One was a brilliant young woman. The other was a clever man who had married Lady Helen. He was Dr. Hannibal Ludlow. The three scientists sailed off to the Eastern Isle. They arrived at the lake and set up their experiments. The young woman scientist went up into the hills behind the lake, and it was then that the news came. The old king was dead. The prince was on his travels, gallivanting. Not to be found. He'd been on his gallivants for years, actually. He'd left his fiancée behind and never even sent a note by carrier pigeon. Uncle Trump thumped his head.
Oh, he was very stupid.
So, continued Polly, without a king or queen to communicate with the source of magic, the two scientists went back to their ship to decide what they should do. It was Hannibal's job to take the experiments down before they left. He forgot. Nobody was guarding them. Something went wrong. Some children toppled the tubs of chemicals. The lake shot up in a tower of spray. Rolls of thunder rocked the hills. The lake vanished underground. Most of the people of the lake died in the explosion. I'm so sorry. Jasper's voice trembled, but he looked straight at Beatrix. Polly tightened her lips. The third scientist was Lady Gaul. She was returning from the hills, saw the accident happen and took control. Well, somebody had to. Because of that, people listened to her when she began weaseling her way into being provisional monarch. And without a true monarch, nothing can be done about the death of magic.
I thought there was plenty of time to swan around and draw my pictures, Trump admitted. I didn't realize things had grown so problematical.
Polly said, too late. She reached out in the dark and put her hand over Beatrix's. Jasper's father was and is an honest man. He was careless, but he's honest. So is Dr. Rocket.
We're all very sorry about the past, said Dr. Rocket. But Lady Gaul's making a fake crown. She can have a coronation at the Eastern Lake, send up a few fireworks to celebrate, and everyone will say, "Oh, lovely queen, oh, happy now with feathers on." They'll be too scared to kick themselves for not stopping her.
The best way to stop Lady Gaul will be for the real monarch to get there first, Trump said. And only someone born a prince or princess can be the real monarch.
Trump squashed his hat between his hands.
So if it does turn out that I'm too late, Jasper, the real king might be you.
Me?
Jasper nearly breathed in a luminous moth. His head drummed horribly. This was the bit of the jigsaw he'd been desperately ignoring. He'd be an awful monarch. But the old king was his grandfather. Lady Helen would have been queen if she wanted to, but she'd been busy with a child. And that child was Jasper himself.
No, he said, it couldn't be him. He was just ordinary. And if the monarch isn't me and isn't you, Trump added, then I'm afraid it is Sibylla.
The world roared in Jasper's ears. He very deeply didn't want to be the king. But he had seen magic happen with Sibylla. The real monarch must be her. And probably the last thing Fontania needed was a queen who still smeared carrot and potato up her nose.